I don't know what to say. I do know this. I didn't ruin the church. It was the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing about the Holy Spirit, he'll lay waste the best laid plans of man.
His plans are always better.
We understand now what it means when it says it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, wow. Hey, Jason Smith is going to be with us from Germany. Tuesday night at our school, we want to open that up if you want to come to that, our advanced ministry training school. Jason will be speaking, and then again this Friday night, so at the gathering. So Jason's going to be in town. He's a great man of God. Wow. Okay. I think God has something to say to us this morning, especially this bunch up here on the front. We're living in a time of unprecedented, never gone before waters, where God is breaking down the walls of division to create one people upon the earth. And I want to just encourage you, because we have to be careful that we don't get stuck in the traditions of the past or the traditions of the present. Because when God does something brand new upon the earth, he doesn't really care what your paradigm has been or what your opinion is or what your perception is, because it's something new. And the Lord, the thing that I so appreciate about what he does in the Spirit is that he never lets you be the same today what you were yesterday. He's a God of transformation, restoration, and renewal. That every day with him is a new day. And the church is coming out of the dark ages. We just thought the Reformation was the age of light. But some of the stuff you do would make Martin Luther turn over in his grave. He said, yeah, I know, I put that on the wall that says, just shall live by faith. By grace you're saved through faith. I know I declared our freedom from the Roman Catholic Church, but I didn't know about this much freedom. The more hierarchical a system becomes, the less freedom that we enjoy. That's why in the last few hundred years, over 33,000 denominations have sprung up. And I call them corral building denominations. What's the purpose of building a corral? Containment. If somehow we could just contain God in our corral, then everybody would admire our cattle. Because they all have our brand on it, them. So corral A says, that's Hart's cattle. Corral B would say, I'm trying to think of someone else's name in here. Okay, Ron's cattle. But that we've identified one another and branded one another. But God's not the author of corral building. Amen. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that's built without walls. It's an organic bringing forth of a revelation of the lordship of Christ to the earth. Now, the revelation of the Lord is an ever-expanding revelation. It increases. One thing about God, he's not a God of diminishing returns. But everything God puts his hand on grows and expands and becomes more like him every day. And the church, see, is not the end-all of end-alls. The church is only the passageway into the kingdom. Church birthing the kingdom of God upon the earth. And the kingdom of God is not what man perceives it to be. It's simply a position we have in Christ that enables us to become like him. And that's quite a privilege, isn't it? The Lord has said, I've chosen you to be my sons and daughters. I'm your father, and I'm your sons and daughters. And in the last days, the spirit of Elijah is being released to marry once again the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And it's so opposite of the religiosity that we've known that it's sometimes difficult to possess it, because we think about God in the terms that we our fathers knew. And God's saying, I'm bringing this new thing to you and showing you the real heart of the Father. Just like he's bringing true shepherds. The difference between a true shepherd and a false shepherd. A false shepherd is like a hireling, right? But a shepherd after God's heart is what we're seeking. This is the heart of David, the heart of humility. And when I talked recently, and I like this term, is that the whole kingdom is founded upon a heart of humility. Because everything that's birthed out of you comes forth from your heart. For at the heart come forth the issues of life. So out of your heart comes forth his presence, his will in your life. And if your heart's not a fertile ground, then he cannot speak to it. But it's the heart that cries out, speak, Lord, my heart hears. Because it's out of the heart that hears that there's an abundance of joy and freedom that come forth. You can always tell a hard-hearted person, because no matter what you do, they won't receive what you have to give them. They'll resist you. But in God's economy, there's no resistance. It's like the Lord says, make straight the pathway. Bring down the high places. Lift up the low places. Make a highway for the Lord. And God's saying, I'm coming into my house to drive on my highway, to drive, to resident in the hearts of my people, so that out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. See, the deposit that God puts in you is so incredible. It's like a vein of gold. And when people see that gold in you, that, how many like gold? All you women should raise your hands, right? Guys, you want to make your wife happy? Give them gold with a diamond on top. It's kind of like a cherry on a strawberry or cherry on a sundae. Just don't give them a diamond. Give them a diamond on top of the gold. It's like a cherry on a sundae. But we become like that. We become the gold of God. You know, when we talk about the streets of gold, we oftentimes fantasize about heaven and how that it's ordained certain ways. But the really what I see is heaven is in you. And now I'm not saying there's not a place called heaven, but the real heaven's in you. The real kingdom's in you. This is the street of gold. This is the place that God wants to deposit in you something more precious than even gold and silver, but it's the gold of God. The thing that's been honed into your spirit by your yielding him to him. What is this thing about walking with him? It's about yielding yourself so much. that you have no agendas. You know, when you become agenda-free, when you become doctrine-free, when you become opinion-free, you're free. When you just become, what does the Lord say? Unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom.
Yeah, brothers,
what's
sisters.
The mark of a little child? And we're not talking about 6-year-olds. I'm talking about 2 or 3-year-olds. Because 6-year-olds by that time, they've already changed.
Italian. But
they're opinionated. But the mark of a little child is the trust.
English.
And the willingness just to be loved and to love. It's before the age of accountability. It's that part of the simplicity of what love produces. See, true love produces a simplicity in your life because it frees you from the confusion of trying to make choices that are detrimental. True unity comes out of true love. Unity is not something you can obtain to by all of a sudden calling a council together and saying, we're going to be one. Let's all list our agreements and let's all look at our disagreements and see which disagreements we can eliminate and what agreements we can agree on. Now we can be one. Now one comes because of love. And you look in the principle of unity. And I know there's so many scriptures this morning, but I'm just going to kind of quote some things and not get into the in-depth teaching. I'll do more in-depth teaching tonight at the second year school about this. But when you look in the book of Acts, and you can use this as a reference, in chapter 2, it's an illustration of what happened and what was birthed out of that unity. We know that on the day of Pentecost, out of the 120 gathering together in one accord, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven and cloven tongues of fire appeared. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And out of that great Pentecostal awakening, they were so overcome that even many thought they were drunk on wine. Peter said, these are not drunk on wine, but these are those that have been fulfilled. The fulfillment of the scripture that's spoken in Joel. Then the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall have visions. It was that prophecy that God brought to bear on that day of Pentecost when wonders were shown in the heavens and the earth. And Peter began to preach to them, and then as the church began to emerge from that grand entrance to the world, what a way to splash yourself upon the world but to have a drunken party in Jerusalem, the center of the universe at the time. I mean, they were having fire tunnels, and they were falling all over the place, rejoicing. They're kind of acting like some of you. You talk about disturbing the religious crowd. I mean, just when they thought they got the leader of the pack by killing Jesus, now they didn't realize that all of a sudden many sons are coming to birth. It's what have we loosed in the world? A wild people. Wouldn't it be great in Christianity today if the church could release something wild upon the earth? Instead of the same old, same old? Wouldn't it be great if joy could just become so prevalent that it would just freak out everything else? I'm afraid we're in for a shock at the freedom. Now, the freedom's not given just for parties. It's given so you can become something. You can become a son of God, led by the Spirit. And that even when you go through times of trial, Jesus, when he went through a trial, I would say it was a little bit of a trial when he had to go hang on a cross, wouldn't you? How many know that would be a little challenging? But it said for the joy that was set before him, He endured that. When I look at some of you, I look at Tony and Ruth here. Tony's been battling since 2002. Ruth, you've been battling in your health since 2011. These guys are a testimony of the Lord. Years and years of battling infirmity. Yet here they come every Sunday to rejoice in the Lord. Because greater is He that's in you than He's in the world. And there's a strength that comes from knowing the Lord that's incredible. I applaud you. I commend you. And I commend all of you here that go through trials, but yet you count it all joy in the midst of your trial. For the joy of the Lord becomes your strength, and in His presence there's fullness of it. And so when people look at this church, they think these are a people that maybe are just a little bit off. But I'd say you're a people that are a little bit on. Because you've learned the source that brings the joy to your life. And so out of this great Pentecostal experience came the body of Christ. What an experiment that's been to bring forth a body of people. And it says in Acts chapter 4, I'm trying to find it. It's right in front of me. Are y'all messing with me again? Oh, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were one heart, one soul. No one said that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. No one lacked, for all who possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed to everyone that had need. What a beautiful story of the birthing of the body of Christ, of people that had everything together as one. Nothing separated them. And we're in a time now of unprecedented breaking down of the walls of division so that God can bring a flow of His presence to the earth. It all started in that great committee meeting in heaven between Jesus and the Spirit and the Father, when they said and they declared to one another, "We are one. Whatever you, how you speak, I speak. What you think, I think. What you desire, I desire. And when we speak, then we all speak as one." That's the kind of unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, isn't it? They think as one, move as one, act as one, and they are one. And the great mystery of that Trinity is that here you have three, but yet you have one. How could that be? It's a mystery, isn't it? The Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father, even though they're three, they're one. But that's what they brought to the earth through Christ. When Jesus came, He came to bring who they were to this place called earth, to manifest themselves here, to show you who you could be in them. Wow. Here you were, fallen humanity of the Adamic nature of lawlessness and disobedience. And all of a sudden, on the scene comes this one mediator, this one that came to unite you with them as one. Taking away the identity of your Adamic soul and giving you the identity of who he is. That here the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one of God, came, died for you, so you could be one with him. He became a mediator of this new covenant that's in you. And the same covenant that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have together, God has given that covenant to the earth. A binding agreement to where we can be one with him. You young guys down here on the front, you know, man, what a lifetime you've got to live. Being one with God. Can you imagine the time you're well-pickled wine? You know, what do they do with wine? They put it in barrels, right? And they let it, what? Ferment. For a long time. I'm looking out there at some pretty well-fermented people. I even found out the other day they ferment Tabasco sauce. Should have known. By the way, if you ever travel overseas, take you a bottle of Tabasco sauce with you. Just put it on everything you eat, and you'll never get sick. I swear. But God has thrown y'all into a barrel to ferment you. And says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when they look at you, they say, man, look what God has done in you. Wow. Look at the love that's coming out of you. The faith. The joy. We're living epistles to be read and known of all men. I mean, when Christ came, what did he say? Come on, I want you to eat and drink of me. Wow. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven. Guess what, though? When you get this, when you become one with him, you become a bread from heaven. You become a drink from the glory. What's in you? What was in him now is in you. Let's go find Jesus. Turn and look at the neighbor next to you. There he is. Yeah. Some of us more fermented than others. Woo! If you'd known he was that close, you'd been minding your P's and Q's, wouldn't you? Nah. Oh. He's nigh you. He's close to you. He's in your heart. He's right with you right now. You haven't hidden anything from him. Quit being ashamed of your sin. I mean, I'm not telling you to go sin. I'm telling you this. Quit walking around beat down by some theology that tells you that you're separated. You're not separated. He's with you. He's in you. Well, I did something wrong. Well, if you did something wrong, get rid of it. You can deal with it. Deal with it. Don't languish in it. Just deal with it. Amen? But you don't gotta, he's not beating you up. He's loving you. He's encouraging you. He knows because of his love and encouragement, it'll transform you. We're becoming one. And I'm just not really going to even get to where I want to go this morning. I don't know. Maybe you didn't give enough in the offering. I feel I'm getting shut off here. Yeah. Oh, how many know I've never preached for an offering? 42 years in ministry. My philosophy has always been, if God don't provide, then I won't show up. Been 42 years. We've never missed a payment. Forgot to take the offering this morning. offering. We'll save it till January 6th. I mean, April 6th. January's already come and gone, I heard. Yeah? You know, Ephesians says that having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, May the 10th, we want to invite you that are hungry, and this is for all the leadership in the school or in the church. This is kind of a mandatory thing, as far as we can do, say mandatory, because some of you would say that's legalistic if we said mandatory. So we'll say it's semi encouraged to be here on May the 10th for a day of oneness. It's going to be a spiritual boot camp from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on May the 10th. And then anyone else that's hungry enough to come, we welcome you to come. As long as you bring sandwiches from Jason, you can be a part of it. And lemon pie. Because God's doing something new. Recently, there's been a fresh revelation released. Not a fresh revelation. I'd say it's a renewal of revelation into my heart, as well as many of you, concerning this, how God is molding us together as a people. Because we know that God doesn't just bring us together just to be together. He's bringing us together for a purpose. And the purpose is to bring us to we become one. Because the world will only know him. The book of John tells us that they may all be one. Everybody say, all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So how does the world believe? How's the world going to believe? Because we do all these other things? No, the world believes when they see us united with him and one with one another. I like what Tony Palmer says. Diversity is divine, but division is diabolical. Paul spends a lot of time speaking about the unity in the church. And God's going to teach us how we be one. How do we walk in oneness? How do we let God create that in us? Because it's not a self-determination of the flesh where we all of a sudden say, hey, I'm one with someone. God has to birth that oneness in us. And it's birthed by the depth of the revelation that we have of who he is. For the greater my knowledge and revelation of him, the greater my ability to understand and be one with you. For I can't forgive you unless I understand and feel the forgiveness of God towards my life. See, most of the time when I have a wrong response or a wrong attitude or a wrong whatever coming out of me is because I haven't learned to receive his love or forgiveness for me. So I'm coming from a spirit of rejection. When you're coming from a spirit of rejection, it's like the seed, the very core of your being, a person that feels rejected will manifest different aspects of their nature that will be detrimental to unity. Because if I feel rejected, I'm going to spread rejection. I'm going to spread discord. I'm going to spread unforgiveness. But I feel accepted and loved, and that's what's going to flow out of me. Amen. How many want to have a pastor show up on Sunday morning or whoever else is speaking that feels accepted and loved? You don't want me showing up feeling rejected. Because if I do, I'm going to spread rejection on you. It's time we spread a little grace on one another. Cry grace to it. What's in me will spread on you. So I pray, God, let there be in me a heart of love and acceptance and a heart of forgiveness so that when I speak, I will convey your nature and not that which is of me that's been rejected. Because I don't want anything to come out of my mouth that doesn't create the unity. The words that you speak, Lord, are spirit and life. And I want my words to be spirit and life. Because everywhere a spirit and life word goes, it creates life. It springs forth to birth that which God has. That's why it says you can speak and declare with your mouth and it shall happen. You have the power to forgive and the power to judge. How many want to choose the spirit of forgiveness? You have the power to declare over someone, hey, you're free. Your sins are forgiven. Well, I thought only the Catholic Church could do that. No, you can. You can declare freedom over your brothers and sisters. You can declare forgiveness over their transgression. And see, the reason why most people that aren't free is because they're not around people that are free that are willing to give of themselves to create the freedom for them. You put people in the right atmosphere long enough and it's usually pretty contagious. It's called peer pressure. Don't let your kids run around the wrong crowd. But see, you put yourself, that's why it says in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If you think by being a lone wolf, you've got the answer, you're missing it. Your chances are slim. It's not in being a lone wolf. There's no lone wolves in the kingdom. God has joined us together as one body. Not just this body, but everyone that calls the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he that was born of a virgin, died on a cross, resurrected on the third day and ascended into heaven. All those that call upon that name are your brothers and sisters. And God has joined you with them. We have no right as an individual to isolate ourselves as an individual. In the name of being anti-religious. Well, I'm too spiritual to be around religion. Well, you're the epitome of religion. Because you're judgmental. Religion births judgmentalism. So you can be feel like you're the freest free bird in town, but if you're judgmental, you're still religious. Well, I got grace and those people don't. I'm free and they're bound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God I ain't like them people. Thank God I ain't like that church down the street. Thank God I ain't like them Catholics. Then we'd all be going to hell together. Thank God I've been set free and I'm not bound anymore. Those poor bound people over there, I feel sorry for them. No, that's not a spirit of unity. Spirit of unity, it says, I'm one with my brothers. Well, they're old school. Well, put some new school around and help them out a little bit. People call me old school. That's all right. Call me anything. I just want to be one with you. Unity is precious. How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Get that old divisive thing out of your heart. And how does all this come? We're going to study that on May the 10th, Day of Unity, boot camp. It all comes by revelation. See, what God's birthing at COP is something special. How many sense that? And the reason why he's birthing that, and it's like you're the guinea pigs. Everybody goes, squeak, squeak, squeak. You're the guinea pigs that have been placed in an incubator of birthing. Because God wants to demonstrate through you what he can be. Eyes are searching to and fro all over the earth. Searching for what? Those whose hearts are perfectly set on him. Is that right, Eric? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro searching for those whose hearts are set upon him. Would he be have an abiding place here? I just love you guys. You're so awesome. Stand up. I want y'all to hug each other. These are newlyweds. Sit down. I just love watching newlyweds hug. Caught Will and Paige hugging in the sound booth Friday night. Young love, sweet love. Omar? Old love's pretty good too. Yeah? Everybody say yeehaw. Yeehaw. Okay. Say I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. All these young people and semi-young people. I think Harry's down there on the line somewhere. You guys just really bless me. You know what? Wow, you just give me so much life. Because isn't it neat to be one together with, for a guy my age, to be one with these young guys? Wow. That gives me something I don't get from you old guys. I mean, I love being one with you old guys. But I had this terrible dream a couple of years ago. Not a dream. What if we wound up one day with just old people here? We'd probably start acting old. See, if it was all old people here, I wouldn't be preaching like this. I'd be, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to read this morning from the Holy Book of God, verse 1 through verse 10. Well, it was so cool when I was a Baptist because there was this one guy, this one deacon I could always pray, count on to pray if I needed to go to the restroom at the end of the service. Because sometimes preachers stand up here and gravitational flow creates certain issues. And so the time the service is over, you got to go, you got to go. And so I would always call on this one brother. And I'd say, okay, we'd do the invitation. And I'd say, okay, now it's time for the benediction. And let's all stand up. And Brother So-and-so, would you lead us? And so I would always be at the back doors. Traditionally, Baptist people are Baptist pastors to greet everybody on the way out. So they could all say, good message, Pastor. Good message, Pastor. And I needed all that ego boosting. Because then they would all go home at lunch and have fried chicken pastor. And so it was good to get boosted up before I got eaten up. And so this one brother, I'd have him pray. And I knew I could go out the back door, go to the restroom, wash my hands, wash my face, straighten my hair up, put some hairspray on, put some more cologne, use mouthwash, and come back and be at the back door and in time to greet everybody, because he would still be praying by the time I got back to the back door. Anyway, that's what happens when you have a church full of old people. We don't want a church full of old people. We want a church of old people and young people and the middle group, whatever they're called, the middle age, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, young people, for being here. Putting up with old people. What a neat deal to see this, because this is how God develops and brings forth his church upon the earth. And I'm so excited that Paul cried out to us, pleading with us, brethren, by the name of the Lord, you speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of close household, that there are no contentions among you. And that's what I feel this morning, that there's not a contentious bone in our body. We have a spirit of unity and love and oneness. And it's in that atmosphere that God birthed something awesome upon the earth, a people, a wonderful people that love him and love each other. We just heard a little excerpt from the Pope. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's a great revolution and reformation going on in the Catholic Church. Pope Francis, in the last year, just celebrated his first year anniversary. And I know the chapters haven't all been written about this man, and I'm not here to defend him or here to promote him. I'm telling you this, though, he's radically transforming the Catholic Church back into the church it's supposed to be. And he's asking us to pray for him so he can have the strength to carry out the mission that God has set before him. Amen? And he's declaring that whether you're Protestant, whether you're Roman Catholic, that he knows that one day all those things come down. And all that's standing in his place is a people that are magnifying and exemplifying and revealing who Jesus Christ is to the earth. Amen. We had an influence out of 2008. When the Spirit of God hit this church. Sue and I went to Iowa that summer to be a part of the School of Prophets, of people gathered around from the nation and several other nations. And by the fourth day of that meeting, they asked me, would you lay hands on us that we can receive the anointing that's hitting you guys, that hit us in Lakeland. And I've told this story before. And so I told Gary, the lead apostle of this group, I said, could I do something different? Could I just wash your feet? This is like at 10 in the morning, the morning service. So they got the water out, and I got in front of Gary, and I began to wash his feet. As often if when I'd wash someone's feet, my heart becomes broken because it's truly the Spirit of Christ. If you want to just come down a notch, start washing some feet. And as I'm washing his feet, and my tears are dropping on his feet, the anointing and the glory was evident. And I saw out of the corner of my eye a woman run to the front, fell on the altar. And I looked up at Gary and I said, that released it. Well, that afternoon at 4 o'clock or so, they were still going in there in the service. And the brother Silas from Brazil was in that service. And within a week or so, he was back in Brazil and he had an engagement to speak. His first speaking engagement back was to speak at this group of 3,000 pastors and leaders, and there was a number of Catholic priests that were in that congregation. And he got up and he began to, we believe it was a song that Darren taught him while we were there, Pour Out Your Spirit. As he just began to sing that within 1 minute's time. He never got to preach. Spirit of God fell on those 3,000 leaders and wrecked the place. And they were there for hours. And this happened after he was in Iowa. And out of that, he began meeting Catholics, wanted to meet with him, Catholic priest and even bishop. And one of those bishops has now become a cardinal. And out of that meeting in 2008, they began to invite my friends in Brazil to come into the Catholic Church there and speak to it. And now, in that part of Brazil, when you go into the Catholic Church, and you want to go to the confessional booth, they won't take you into the confessional booth. They take you into the office and they lead you to Christ. And they're all being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the walls are coming down. Because in Brazil, it's been one of the most hate-filled environments for Catholics and Protestants. The Protestants hate the Catholics and the Catholics hate the Protestants. Protestants hate Catholics, Catholics hate the Protestants. It's been a real animosity there. But it all led up to the Pope coming last year. And what's so cool about it is that they acknowledge and trace And it, of course, it didn't come from me. It came from the Lord, but it's what I caught Jeremy in Lakeland. They trace it all back to here, that whole thing that broke loose in Brazil of the restoration of the Catholics and the Protestants. Isn't that cool? You see, the glory brings unity and breaks down the walls. And then this bishop in Brazil was just appointed a cardinal who's one of the good friends of Pope Francis. And Pope Francis has cleaned house. He kicked out all the cardinals that were misusing the money and brought in independent financial people. And they're making tremendous changes. It's just phenomenal what God's doing. So if you've been biased and prejudiced against the Catholic Church, I understand it. But don't let that affect you and how you feel about it going from this day forward. Because God's going to do something greater than what have we tried to restrict him in unity. He's going to do it in every denomination. And to one day there'll be no mindset of denomination. It'll just be a kingdom. And we are the kingdom of God upon the earth. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow.